peace and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text is the Holy Gospel from Matthew. Please be seated. Well, brothers and sisters, when you hear this story, you may say, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, Jesus, what in the world are you doing? I mean, don't you know who Matthew is? He's a tax collector, maximum sinner, Matthew." I remind you that in our Lord's day, if a fellow Jew had this occupation, it meant that you worked for who? Yes, the hated Romans. And that therefore you are a traitor to your people, a turncoat to the Israelites. So Matthew, by being a tax collector, was a lackey then of the hated Roman government and its immense and corrupt deep state. And like most tax collectors, Matthew most likely was an opportunist. He would do what? Here's what he would do. He would overcharge your tax bill, and then he would pocket the personal surcharge. Do you get the idea? Matthew, he's a crook. He's a scoundrel of the worst kind, a sinner par excellence. So are you shocked that Jesus walks right up to Matthew and says, "Follow me"? Well, you shouldn't be shocked, because you and me, we are no better than Matthew. And Jesus said the same thing to me and you. Now, if you don't want Jesus to redeem or forgive Matthew, then you should exclude yourself as well. But I tell you, don't go there. Seriously, don't. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Follow me. Those are discipling words. Those are welcoming words. Words that unilaterally accept the notorious villain and cheat, Matthew, to be now one of his forgiven disciples. Follow me. Words from the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Jesus speaks here just like he spoke in the beginning. Let there be light. Or when he barked out that incredible command at his best friend's tomb. Lazarus, come forth. And now these words from his divine mouth, follow me, they do what they say. Immediately, Matthew, the sinner, forsakes his vocation, and he leaves all of his sin behind in order to follow the Savior of sinners, Jesus. Saving sinners is our Lord's cup of tea. And then it's off to Matthew's house. Matthew throws a great party to rejoice in the Lord's extravagant forgiveness of Matthew's sin with probably, let's pretend, some prime rib, some grilled asparagus with sea salt and olive oil, the best Cabernet money can buy, and Cuban cigars for everyone. Who's invited? Well, Jesus is, of course, but there are others who've been invited to this party as well. Who are they? Matthew's tax collector cronies and a posse of other sinners. That's a polite way of saying, you know, the fringe, outside of the margin kind of people, the big time losers and the lifetime failures. What? What is that? Did I hear you disapprove? Do you object? Oh, I saw your eyebrows. They're raised. And your lips. Oh, I can see them. They're puckered. Well, you and the Pharisees are on the same page, because the Pharisees were 24/7, 365 objectors when it came to Jesus and the company that he kept. So now again, it appears that Jesus has doubled and tripled down on being there for who? For sinners, with all of his forgiveness. Now, isn't this how it always goes? Instead of talking to the person they have the problem with, Jesus, they saunter up to his disciples. Why does your teacher eat with these losers, these tax collectors and sinners? 6 feet, 12 feet, 36 feet of social distancing wouldn't cut it for them. It had to be for the Pharisees a complete and total social distancing from these derelict people. No association whatsoever, ever. No respectable rabbi would hang with such unholy and impure people. And so in their minds, Jesus is totally out of line. Jesus, according to the Pharisees, commits rabbinical and religious impeachable and irredeemable offenses. And an indictment, or plural indictments, will be coming soon. Jesus overhears them talking, like he always does. And he turns the tables on them. Those who are well, Jesus says, have no need of a physician. Who needs the physician, according to Jesus? Those who are sick. You see, when you're well, or at least you think you're well, you have no need and you have no interest of going to see who? The doctor. But if you suspect something is wrong, unless you're some stubborn man, if the symptoms are lining up poorly on, you know, WebMD, what do? You grab your iPhone and you call for an appointment because you want to see the doctor right away. Now, can you imagine, folks, can you imagine a physician or a doctor who couldn't stand sick people? Can you imagine a doctor who refused to see sick patients because they have runny noses and itchy eyes, because all these people wheeze and hack and sneeze? These people have heart diseases and cancers. Can you imagine a doctor who would kick these kind of people out of his clinic? What kind of a doctor would he or she be? You know the answer to that. And nor would Jesus be much of a savior then if he didn't care for who? The whole mess of sin, sick to death, sinners. Jesus, the great physician, does care. His unrelenting mission and his sole purpose was to save and to seek the sin, sick, lost, like Matthew, like you and me. Jesus bullishly wanted to become lost in our death in order that Matthew, his friends, and all of us would be found in him. Yes, brothers and sisters, Jesus came in solidarity with who? With sinners. Remember, he was baptized with sinners in John's baptism of repentance. He was crucified, counted as a sinner, as he bore the guilt of the world in his own Good Friday shoulders. Even though Jesus never sinned, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5 that he became our sin. In other words, Jesus embodied our sin in his crucified body. Jesus was cast off and forsaken. Jesus was rejected so that we now in him are insiders. Now in Christ we are the children of God. We are his disciples because we are baptized in his life and death. So Jesus gives the Pharisees some homework. He tells them, go and learn what this means. And then he quotes from the prophet Hosea that you heard earlier. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. In other words, learn that God is in the business of giving mercy and could care less about your burnt offerings. You see, brothers and sisters, the Pharisees were missing the highest worship of Jesus. And what is that? F-A-I-T-H. Trust in the promise of God's steadfast love in Christ to the sinner, only in Jesus. And only for Jesus' sake. And that is why the Pharisees, by refusing this, this is why they snubbed their religious noses at Matthew, his fellow tax collectors, and sinners. The Pharisees didn't see themselves as who? Oh, they didn't see themselves as sinners. So, brothers and sisters, if you think that you're not sick, you don't go to the doctor. And similarly, if you don't see your sin sickness, you will have no use of the great physician Jesus, who put it this way: those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Well, let's tell the truth, shall we, today? We're sick. We desperately need the great physician Jesus. I beg you, don't deny this. Well, in the text, Jesus isn't quite done preaching. There's a little bit more meat left on that bone. He says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. So who is it? Who's the company that Jesus keeps? It certainly is not people who deny their sin, sickness. It's those that confess their sin and know that they are deathly sick with sin. Jesus then gathers sinners around himself around the table. These are sinners who are justified for his sake by his blood. Now, I want you to understand something. Are you listening? Make no mistake. Make no mistake about it. The Pharisees are welcome at our Lord's party, just like all of us. But they and we are welcome only as what? Sin, sick sinners who daily need and want our Lord's forgiveness. This is true. None of us deserve to be Good Friday'd or died for. None of us deserved to be Easter Sunday'd or risen for. We did not deserve to be baptized. We certainly do not deserve to have God's word preached and taught among us, let alone hear the absolution and receive Christ's body and blood in the supper. We have not merited our salvation by our right choices or decisions. We are saved only because of God's undeserved kindness in his Son, Jesus Christ. That's the same grace, brothers and sisters, that called Abraham, as we heard in the epistle, to be the father of many nations. It's the same grace that called a tax collector to be a disciple and that broke bread with all those other sinners at Matthew's house. Where are you now? You're in the Lord's house. And now look at the company he keeps. You and me, forgiven sinners in his name. Who said the same to you that he said to Matthew? Follow me. So happy following him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.